The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.
G'day guys, and welcome to episode 192 of Costa Rica Real Estate and Investments with me, your host, Richard Beckson. Today, we're going to be talking again with Anna Brenners-Taylor here in my office. Well, we've had quite a few requests here to cover some kind of relocation, long-term rentals, car purchase, et cetera questions. So I thought I'd get her back on so we could discuss that. So we're getting kind of an update on what's happening in the relocation world as well, and also just cover some of those FAQs that some people had been asking as well. Anna actually does all of the relocation stuff in our office. I'm more of the cold, hard numbers and investments, and she is the happy, smiley, fun kind of relocation as well. So we kind of make a good team. And we've recently added Jake to our team as well. Jake actually worked for me for many years in the travel company. I was one of the top sales guys, lived in Manuel Antonio, has built down there, has actually got water on land down there as well. We went through that process with him, so kind of helped him out with that. But we've also got a webinar coming up on April 24th at 3 o'clock Costa Rica time. I think that's 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, guys. If you go to our website, investingcostarica.com, let me know. I'm also going to be doing another fractional investment in Arenal, guys, coming up as well. So another fractional investment in Arenal. Manuel Antonio all sold out, like literally within 2 weeks. So if anyone's interested in getting involved in the one in Arenal, let me know. We're kind of just in the planning phase at the moment. We do have the land. We're kind of just putting all the numbers together. So you can email us info@investingcostarica.com, info@investingcostarica.com. You can also go to our website and sign up for the newsletter there as well, guys, where you'll receive all of the investment analysis that we've done on properties. Again, we're not here to sell real estate. Most of the analysis that we do is of just properties that are out there. Just really trying to give you kind of the information and perspective to make an informed decision. Or if you are looking to invest here and need some help, just contact us. On the website, you can also book a call there. But anyway, let's get straight into the podcast. Good afternoon, Anna. How are you doing?
Hi, Richard. I'm doing great, especially because it's Friday.
It is Friday. That's very, very good. It's for people that listen to the podcast, we don't usually do them live, guys. So this will be Friday, and I think probably going out in about a week. So, I think we're all happy it's been Friday. It's been a busy week for both of us. We've been all over the country. I know you're in Guanacaste next week with a client. I was in Guanacaste this week. I'm in Manuel Antonio and Arenal next week. So kind of all over the place. So, but yeah, appreciate you taking the time.
That's part of the job.
Yeah, it's but hey, it's kind of nice to help people, no?
Absolutely. So, the best thing ever.
Exactly. Well, Anna, give us an idea of kind of like how 2024 is looking for you guys. I mean, but I say you guys, it's really us guys, but like how it's been for you and what you think the rest of the year will look like.
Well, Richard, I think 2024 is, I mean, this high season has been incredibly busy. We have a lot of clients coming down. A lot of the people, you know, people when they come down for a vacation, they really fall in love with the country. And so I think that, everything is moving very, very well. And the good thing is that prices are starting to settle a bit. So yeah. Things are good. I think, you know, very dynamic, the whole process right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I mean, we saw, I think it was like a 23% arrival increase in Liberia in Q1, you know, and 9%, 8 or 9% in San Jose. I mean, you know, Costa Rica's highest season ever. You know, I mean, it's still always busy, but it doesn't like Costa Rica never feels really busy, if that makes sense. It does in like core areas of like, you know, Arenal, Manuel Antonio. I mean, I couldn't believe how busy Tamarindo was last night when I went out for dinner, but yeah, it's, you know, still a lot of space. I mean, we still only get like, what, not even 3 million visitors a year. That's not a lot of people.
I know. I was reading an article the other day that we should be getting 5.2 million people in the country and not three, right? Yeah. It's like, we're so happy that we got three. Yeah. It's like, we should really be more sort of ambitious in the sense that we want to bring people to visit and just get to know this beautiful country. And there are just the development that's happened in the last 5 years. It's incredible. So
yeah,
a lot of people.
Yeah, and it really hasn't been that much. I was chatting with an investor that I was with yesterday, and he was like, Rich, why is Costa Rica not developed more? And I was just like, how long you got, buddy? But I mean, it really just comes down to water infrastructure. I mean, you know, Playa Grande at the moment is not giving out new water letters for the next 90 days. I mean, it really does come down to water infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Everything's organic in this country, which is kind of nice. So while we might want 5 million people, the country only really wants three at the moment. So, you know, we'll organically get there, I'm sure. So
exactly, in the right proper way. And I think the water letter issue, Richard, it's actually a good issue for the country. I think that the government is really trying to implement the water infrastructure that is correct, you know, and it's suitable for the development that is taking place. So I'm all for it. It just delays the plan a little bit, but that's, you know, it's actually for a good thing.
That's the beauty of it, right? I mean, if it was easy, Absolutely. Everyone would be doing it. So, I mean, look, a lot of people that, you know, are looking, I mean, I think a lot of people at the moment are either looking to diversify some funds or investments outside of the US, and Costa Rica is a great place for it. But other people are like, look, I think I might want to leave, or I'm thinking of leaving, or I am leaving. You know, a lot of people are looking to potentially rent before buying in Costa Rica. I mean, do you think that's a good option? And if so, like, how much does it cost, and how do they go about finding a long-term rental?
Well, I think that it's a great idea for those people who have never been to Costa Rica. So we get a lot of clients who maybe came very quickly, did a very short trip a few years ago, or have never been, that are really interested in Costa Rica as an option. And so we do suggest come visit, maybe stay. For example, next week, I'm going to be with clients who are wanting to rent for a few months or even maybe a year next year. So they're going to come down now, and we're going to offer them a perspective of each area. They are interested in the North Pacific. So I'm just going to spend the day with them and show them around. And I have been looking at several rental options for them. The better prices are for the long-term rentals that are a year.
Yep.
That's where you get the really good prices. So like even for a really nice 2 or 3 bedroom home, you know, you can get that for $2,300, $2,500 a month.
Yep.
And this is a beautiful house with a pool, with a garden. You know, you can get that if you're renting for a year. Now, if you're renting for 6 months or 4 months, then you have to go to the pricing for per month.
Yep.
You know, and so it tends to be more like, let's say, again, a 2-3 two-bedroom house, it's more like $3,500. You know, if you're going to a more luxury property, then maybe 5,000 a month, plus utilities. So yeah, it's an investment, but it's an investment in your life. If you're thinking about making a decision and don't know the country properly, it gives you an opportunity to really experience it. And also, I think that a lot of people come, you know, have, you know, mismatched expectations. And so when we talk about how expensive Costa Rica is, or people who have heard from an article many, many years ago that it was actually cheap, I think it all depends on how you want to live while you're here, right? And I think by renting, you really get a sense of how much shopping is and where the farmer's market is and how you handle that. It's a really, you have to adapt to the process. It's a process to go from your life in the US or Canada or Europe, and then come here and realize that it's a very different way of life. So I think rentals are great for immersing yourself in the culture, even just for a short time, and to really sort of start to understand the culture and the reality of life in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone, right? I mean, it's slow. I mean, things slow down here. I mean, you know, I mean, once you've been here a while, we had Kim and Jason on a while back on one of the previous podcasts, and they were just like, when we go to the States, it's like overwhelming sometimes with like boards and noise and stuff. And here in Costa Rica, I mean, we have noise, but it's like birds and insects, you know, it's not cars honking and lights flashing everywhere. And like life is just slower.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, talking about people who don't like it and just decide not to stay, that's fine too. You know, we are all different and we all have our own needs, and sometimes you just don't match, and that's fine. You know, we love our country, of course, and what we want to do is help those who decide to stay make a very wise decision, in the sense that, you know, they can have all the information and really, you know, have choices. You know, like, for example, I'm also dealing with another client who is wanting to have a second home. And he's like, yeah, I'll just come down. He lives in the U.S., I'll just come down for a weekend or a long weekend, or maybe a week at a time whenever I have a chance. And, you know, we're looking at different properties, and he's like, well, I like the nicer ones. And I said, well, yes, the price is a little higher, but there's a great rental opportunity for you here.
Yeah.
So look at how, you know, that's why I also like to show the rentals, you know, to those clients who are still considering and, you know, just kind of getting all this information. I'm like, look at how good things rent. Look at the prices and look at the stability. Like, even in low season now, Richard, if you start looking at dates, the pricing just doesn't really come down.
Yeah, you
It's
know, yeah, I agree. You know, and I was looking at actually, I love France, as you know. You know, and I was looking at buying a house in France, but just the season is so short there. I mean, it's literally like June to September and then it's over. And I was like, why would I ever do that? Here in Costa Rica, I mean, we have a pretty steady season. I mean, September and October is probably our dead season, but the rest of the year is still pretty strong. Like, why would I put that money in Europe where the season is so short when I can have it here and from that then just take vacations there, you know? But
Yeah, just rent for a month or two, and when the good
yeah.
season is happening. I think that I'm surprised, Richard. I've been looking at the long-term rentals, and I see that even September and October, you know, it's getting a lot of movement now
Yeah.
because people who are looking to spend a little bit less, you know, rent is going to be a little bit less in the
Yeah.
lower season. And so, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of movement, really.
Where would people go about finding long-term rentals? It's people seem to have a lot of issue trying to find them, Anna. I mean, what should they, what's your advice on trying to find long-term rentals?
I think, well, we help. We can help. We have established now connections with most property managers, property management companies in each area, and so now what we do is we stay in communication with them, and then we see what's on. I see a lot of some of the big luxury rental, like property management companies, don't really rent long term anymore because
Yeah.
it's hard because they have so much movement, you know, it's hard for them to block, you know, they're just booked all over, and it's hard for them to block a long term, even a month. I just spoke with two of them today. And so I think property management is the best way to go when you're looking for rentals in each area.
Yeah.
That's what I do. You know, that's what I talk, that's who I talk to when I'm looking for a rental for customers, for, you know, our customers. And then also I kind of get to know the homes. I kind of know what there is. For example, for people who have a lower budget, there is an area right beside Flamingo Beach, which is an upscale, like really expensive location to rent in. Right beside it, that's called Potrero. And Italian investors developed Villaggios, which is like a gated residential community. There are five.
Yep.
And so you can rent, you know, a nice two bedroom. They're small, but there's beautiful gardens all around you, and you have a pool that every, you know, like a pool for the condo,
Community,
I mean,
yeah.
for the community. And it goes from $1,300 to $1,500 a month
That's pretty
rent.
good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it's super close to everything. You can rent a golf cart and then move around and go to all the nearby beaches. So there are, you know, there are many different options that you can look at. But yes, I think that the North Pacific is what's moving more, Rich.
Yeah.
Tamarindo, Flamingo, Potrero, Playa Grande. And I think that Uvita in the southern Pacific, I think Uvita has the most dynamism, let's say, with rentals, just because it's closer to the national park. And so there's a lot going on there, but also Dominical for the surfers and the wellness industry. In the Central Pacific, of course, Jacó and Manuel Antonio are huge because they have, you
There's just
know,
not that
there's a
much
lot
stuff
of
in
tourism.
Manuel Antonio, though. You know,
Yeah,
it's
no,
that's like pure
nothing can
tourism.
beat it. Nothing can beat it.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, let's talk about, you mentioned golf carts there. Let's talk about cars a little bit. I mean, like if you're coming here, you know, I mean, do you rent a car? Do you rent a car long term? Do you get a golf cart? I mean, what are the options available to people?
Well, for example, for our clients who are going to be down for 4 months, we definitely recommend that they rent a car. If they decide 2 months after being here that they definitely want to stay,
Yeah.
well, we had that with Tara and Damon. Remember our clients?
Yeah.
They decided, no, we're just going to buy a car. So they actually purchased the car. We helped them find a good car, you know, have one of our mechanics check it up. But if you're going to rent a car, if you're going to be here, for a few months, there are long-term rental car options that are very reasonable. So for example, in the high season, you can be looking at between 1600 and 1800 a month. Low season, closer to like 1300 a month, I would say. There, if you go to the major companies, they usually, you have to purchase insurance. And there's also usually a between $500 and $1,000 deposit, depending on the company. But yes, there are options where you just give out a $500 deposit, and that includes insurance. So yeah, we usually try to keep people informed about good options for rentals. Of course, I have to mention that if you're going to come in the high season, it's going to be a little bit more expensive and harder to find cars. So if you decide to come and rent in the high season, make sure that you book your car rent with
Months
at
out,
least 6 months, in advance.
yeah. I mean, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what Costa Rica's high season is, it's basically December to April. But yeah, I mean, that period of time, I mean, the car rental company, if you're coming for longer than 30 days, a car rental company doesn't really work for you because they're going to charge you like $3,000, $4,000 because it's cheaper for them to rent, kind of short term. But there are some long term car rental businesses out there. Plug, we have a long term car rental business just because, again,
I was gonna say,
it's okay.
we
But
do.
well, the reason was that we had clients asking for it and it really wasn't out there and really didn't serve. So, the curbside delivery, like if I always try and do stuff like if I was renting a car, what would I want? I'd want to walk out the airport, walk straight into the car and drive off, so that's exactly where it is. There's no hidden fees, everything, so
Right.
I wish more companies would think like if I was the client, like what would I want? Because usually it's not like that. Usually the finance team, operation team is kind of running it and it's not really as fluid as you'd want it. But well,
Yeah.
let's talk kind of staying in Costa Rica. I mean, a lot of people are like, hey, I'm thinking about doing it, like, and their first thing is residency in Costa Rica. Like, do I need it? Do I not? What's the advantages of having it?
Well, I think it depends on the situation for the family. So let's say you purchase a lot, you build a house, and you're going to have a rental property. I would say start the process with a immigration lawyer. So we work with a few that we highly recommend. And I think that the conversation about which one of the residency types works for them what better is with the residency with the immigration lawyer. Why? Because there's an investor visa that if you invest $150,000 in Costa Rica, you can apply for an investor visa. Then there's the retiree visa, which is you need to you need to have demonstrate that you have a pension, and based on that pension, that income that is on a monthly basis is a stable income, you can apply for that visa. And then you can also be a digital nomad, which is that you work remote, and they issue a temporary visa for a year, and then you can renew it several times. And then when you hit 5 years, you can actually apply for permanent residency.
But you don't really need residency here. I mean, you can come in the country, get 6 months, leave the country, come back in for another 6 months. I mean, the only advantage residency probably gives you is you can open a bank account, that kind of stuff. But
Yeah.
I mean, you open a Wise account, have the card on your phone, like then you don't need a bank account, you can pay everything from there. Like it's not
Right.
necessary, right? I think
It's
it's
not,
more of,
it's,
as we saw in the pandemic, of like if you want it, like when borders closed, if you're a resident of Costa Rica, you could get in.
yeah, absolutely. I think, Richard, it has to do also with how what you want to do here. A lot of people ask me, how can I work in Costa Rica? Well, you need to have permanent residency to be able to work in Costa Rica and like be insured by Social Security and the works, right? But if you're just going to come here and spend some time in and out, I would say just use your tourist visa every 90 or 180 days, depending on, the stamp you get at the airport. You can just leave the country. It used to be 72 hours. Now it's just a few minutes. It doesn't even have, you can just go right out and then get back online and come back in. That's how easy it is. So a lot of expats, what they do is they travel either to Panama or Nicaragua, or they just, take a plane, go to Guatemala, which is gorgeous. One of the nearby countries that are, great for a short visit, like a long weekend. And yeah, you get a new stamp, no problem.
I mean, how much money do you think you need a month to live in Costa Rica? I mean, that can be a little weird, but I mean, what would you say that the minimum is? And then, what would you say the average is?
I would say minimum about 2200. And then more realistic, I would say between 3500 and 4000. And that's considering rent and, going out every once in a while. Of course, having, we're talking about everything, not just supermarket, but like if you need anything, you need to buy some clothes, some shoes, going to, we have Costco here. We have PriceSmart, which is our Costco. And you can be very good when you shop in bulk, and also when for what is not fresh. And then also if you go to the farmers market. So it all depends on how you manage your money.
Yeah, I mean,
So splurge every once in a while. Doesn't have to be bad, but it's all up to you.
I suppose it's the same everywhere, but I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm like 2000 to 2500. Again, it depends on how many people, what type of place that you want, etc. But if you want to live pretty basic here, you can live pretty good on $2,500 a month. You'll be fine using farmers markets kind of thing. So, I mean, what are the main areas that expats are looking to live in that are not the main tourism hubs, that are not like Tamarindo, Flamingo, Nosada, like that aren't the main hubs? I mean, what are some of those, kind of more off the beat areas that you say people look at?
Well, I think that in the South Pacific, Tinamastes and Platanillo, I am kind of in love with the area now. I most incredible view. It's much more rural, right? The little communities are even smaller. You can get better prices, and you have a very different experience closer to the Costa Rican, so that's really nice. I think in the Central Pacific, Hermosa and Herradura, I think it's been developing quite fast. So it's not really in the middle of Jacó, and it's not in the middle of a resort, but it's on the other side of the road from Herradura, from where the Los Sueños Hotel is. There's a big residential community there that offers very good prices. And it's a little bit, it's like a 10 to 15 minute drive to where the main thing, Jacó is. And I think that moves really well. I think in the North Pacific, I consider Playa Grande being a great option because it's very close to Tamarindo, but it's really low key and not as expensive. And then of course Matapalo, which is the little community that it's, between Tamarindo and Playa Grande. There you can rent, Tico homes for a very good price, and you're close to everything and in the middle of a community. So that's a great place as well.
What about in the mountain areas? I mean, it was funny because I was with a client the other day who we've been working with for many years. We're doing a place in Playa Grande for her, and she was here in the city, and we went for lunch, and she was like, "Rich, it's really nice up here in the city, like the climate." I mean, she's coming from Guanacaste where it's hot, but she's like, "It's amazing that I can walk out and I have to kind of put like a bit of a jacket on at night." And like, yeah, I mean, here in the Central Valley, I mean, which areas would you say that a lot of people are looking at?
I think one area, believe it or not, is Cartago. I love Cartago, the mountains of Cartago. A lot of people are asking about it just because it's so pretty. I think that right now they're building, they're doing infrastructure work on the highway, and so it's a little chaotic, but I think in the future it's going to be a really great place for expats to live. It's a little cooler up there. I think that here in the city, I would say a lot of people are moving to the La Sabana area. I guess, yeah, La Sabana. It's right in the middle of between downtown San Jose and Escazú and Santa Ana. It's developing a lot of high rises, small apartments so a lot of young people are living, in this area, and there's a lot of dynamism, great restaurants, walkable. You don't need to have a car. So I think it's right around the National Stadium. And it's just a great area, I think, to find, good prices. And also, I think that some places in Escazú, some areas of Escazú in the mountains are still very good, cooler and very good, for lower rent and just a simpler way of life.
We've had quite a few clients that were interested in the beach, and then kind of took the half step to Costa Rica to the city. I say city, it's not really the city. You know, they were out in Santa Ana, but it kind of is that half step because you still have all the benefits and conveniences of, like, you know, of living in a city, but where you're really in Costa Rica. I mean, in 10 minutes, you could be out in coffee fields and hiking. And, like, that's the great thing about the Central Valley. I mean, rent's a lot cheaper as well. You know, things were a little easier. But again, I think a lot of people have this dream of living by the beach. It's just, you know, it's hot and a little bit more expensive. Whereas, you know, up here in the city, you know, up here in the city in the mountains, it's 65, 85, you know, kind of all year round. So.
Yeah. I also think that if you live at the beach, you need the air conditioning, especially expats are not used to not having the air conditioning on all the time. So yeah, it can be up there because electricity is high, especially in the beach areas, just because people use it, you know, have it on all the time. I was just at the beach for a week and I would just turn it on every little once and then just kind of cool off the room and then, you know,
Definitely.
go back off it because I believe that that's the way to go. But that's because I'm Costa Rican, right? If I would have kept that thing on all night, then it could have been a little, you know,
Yeah.
very expensive. So I think it's all about, I think it here, I mean, I live in Escazú and yeah, sometimes it gets hot during the day, especially at noon. But it usually cools off really nicely at night. So it's a
Yeah, I
relief.
mean, if you don't use air conditioning in Costa Rica, your electricity bill is probably going to be maybe $100. If you do use it, I mean, it's, you know, depending on when you use it. If you just use it at night, it could be 350, 300. You know, if you're using it all the time, you're probably 600 and up. So,
Can I share with you how much I pay power?
go on
Here in
then.
Escazú, I don't really use the air conditioning pretty
Yep.
much at all. I just turn it on every once in a while for a little bit. I pay $65
Wow.
every month.
I pay a
I do have,
hundred.
I do have a gas dryer and a
Yep.
gas stove,
Stove.
so
Yeah.
that's why
I have a
also,
gas
but.
stove. You know, we have a dryer. I have, what, three air conditioning units in the house. We don't really use them that much. Says the guy with the air conditioning on at the moment. But it's that time during the day. But yeah, I mean, look, if you had it running constantly, and at the beach, I think electricity is a little bit, especially in Guanacaste, it's a little bit more expensive as well than here in the city.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
well, Anna, I've kept you long enough. My last question for you, which I love to ask everyone, is if you inherited $500,000 and had to invest it into business or real estate in Costa Rica, what would you invest it in? And
So
you can't say you give it to me.
every time I we do a podcast, I keep you know, changing my answer
That's
because
fine.
I am learning, I am experiencing, and I like it. So there's a new project coming up in the North Pacific in the area of Flamingo, and I would definitely invest in a couple homes in that development because believe it or not, I could pretty much make it with around $500,000,
Yep.
and that's what I would get, you know, rent them both, and just. I mean, I'm excited. They are very close to the Flamingo Marina, and I think that the price is incredible. So I'm excited. That's what I would do.
Okay, awesome. Well, again, Anna, thanks very much to taking the time to join us here on the podcast. Anyone who wants to
Welcome.
chat with Anna, I'll leave her link basically in the description down below. But thanks very much for taking the time to come on with us.
Thank you, Rich.
No worries. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
Hope you enjoyed that podcast there with Anna here in our office, guys. Again, you know, it was never our intention to kind of really get into relocation, but I always believe that clients will tell us, you know, where our business needs to go. So, and Anna's great at it. I mean, she just loves Costa Rica. Well, she's Costa Rican, knows the country very well, and has helped many, many clients kind of come here. She's a lot more patient than I am, that's for sure. So, if you're looking to do any relocation to Costa Rica, her contact details are in the description down below. You can click the link and actually just organize a time to chat with her there for free as well. Again, you know, she has 15 minutes for everyone, and so do I as well. So I think if you're looking for investment stuff or real estate in Costa Rica and want, you know, some information, let us know. I was with a client yesterday who was a little dubious about using us, but, like, after the first hour of me just giving him data and kind of showing him what was going on, he was like, wow, Rich, it was like this, I can completely understand now, like, the value that you guys bring, you know, when you're out with clients. Your perspective is just very wide of the whole country and what's happening. And then also just looking at tourism data and also, you know, vacation rental data. So yeah. But, well, guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us 5 stars, thumbs up, share the podcast. I really appreciate the support that everyone's giving. We're going to continue to do this. I have my, you know, we'll have the 200th podcast coming out very, very soon. I'm actually going to record it at the end of this month and get ready, just because the individual is very, very busy, comes from a tourism investment background and also hospitality. Here and is a former minister here in Costa Rica, so it should be very, very interesting. But yeah, I really appreciate your time, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye.
The number one Costa Rica real estate and investment podcast, bringing you experts from all over Costa Rica.